I thank God for every one of you that's here. I think you're going to be blessed. I don't think you're going to be blessed. I know you are. You're going to hear some things that I'm not sure has been spoken in about 2,000 years. Treasures from the mind of Christ. And I'm not ashamed to say that because the Lord is releasing His mind to anybody who will pray. Because we're entering the last days. And certain things have got to come to pass. And it's time. It's time to not be children anymore in our understanding, but grow up, become mature adults, fit for service in the family business. Well, this is God and Sons Incorporated. And the bottom line of our family business is souls. And we're going to help the Lord reap a bunch of them. Amen? Now, I wonder how packed this building would be tonight. Because, see, I know what I said Sunday. I said, now, what we're going to talk about, I said, this service that we're going to do Wednesday night and however many the Lord lets us do while Dave's in Brazil, I said, these are not going to be about you and your prosperity. This is going to be about prospering the kingdom. And in the same way that Dave says, and it's true, that you can go as far into God as you want to, just because you want to, through the avenues of praying in tongues and fasting and so forth. Well, I'm telling you right now, you can become a steward of the finances for the kingdom of God just because you want to. Step by step, and it makes no difference whether you're a high school dropout, a college graduate, whether you're starting with $1,000 or one. There are things you can do on purpose that will start getting you promoted in the kingdom of God, and you'll wind up handling large sums of money for Him. I just wonder how packed this building would be tonight had I said Sunday. If you come Wednesday night, I'm going to show you how you can personally reap $1 million this year. We'd have an overflow room, no doubt. But I thank God for every one of you that's here. Now, when Dave was teaching on Luke 17, I asked you to turn there, didn't I? Good. We're going to start in verse 5 here. Jesus had been teaching on stewardship for all of chapter 15, all of chapter 16, and He concludes it telling Peter, when people offend you in money, Peter, I mean, they got your money. Do you understand me, Peter? They did you dirt. They got your money. You forgive them 7 times a day, and in another account, 70 times 7. And right about there, Peter says, you better increase my faith. Amen? Now, I can forgive you for saying certain things. I can forgive you for this and that. But when you touch my money, you got my money, and God wants me to forgive you, Lord, you better increase my faith. So Jesus answers that, as Dave says, and starting in Luke 17:5, how many of y'all want more faith? And He's telling us the secret right here. And the apostle, starting at Luke 17:5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And here's where He switches to the servant's heart. Now watch this. Keep in mind what Dave says. This is where he starts describing a first-class servant. How many of you would like to be a first-class servant of the Lord? Now, I just got to tell you some things that, before we even read this, that the Lord's been warning me about, you know. As we learn more about true... I mean, are you all enjoying Dave and Michael when they teach on real worship? Oh, my God. Me too. You know what? The Lord gave me a warning, though. He said, we're getting on to holy ground. Really holy ground. You remember when Jesus said, with their lips, these people do honor me, but in vain do they worship me, for their heart is far from me. Well, I thank God, but come here, Sue. You knew I was coming, didn't you? You saw it coming. Stand up, baby. See how pretty you are. Am I a blessed man or what? Amen. Sue was showing me, see this little opal? I bought her that when we were 14. I had to save for it. You know, 14, you don't make much money. You know. Now, I love this woman. She knows that. But I wonder if I'd walk around and I said, I love you. I really love you. I love you. Did you hear me? I love you. Okay. I mean, that's good. She likes to hear that. But if I did that and just said that and followed her around the house while she's doing laundry, doing ironing, I love you. It's fine. It takes that. I'm not knocking. Now, get where I'm coming from. I'm not knocking what they're teaching. See, but the danger there is, what good is all that if the rest of the week I don't give her the time of day? When the bulbs burn out, I don't change them for her. When the trash needs taken out, I don't take it out. When her car gets dirty, I don't wash it. You know, that kind of thing. Thank you. Now, what do you think she's going to believe is really in my heart? See, it's not what I say with my lips, is it? It's what I do that really shows what's in my heart. All right, now. The same thing, no different in finances. Nearly every finance, or well, let's call them whatever, prosperity seminar, kingdom finance seminar, whatever you want to put on it, sowing and reaping seminar, everything you've ever been to and all those tapes you've bought, whose prosperity are they talking about for the most part? Yours. Well, somebody said theirs, and in a way, that's right. But the drawing card is your prosperity, isn't it? For the most part. All right. Now we walk around. Now he warned me. He said, if you're going to devote that much of your soul, if you're going to devote that much time to really entering in and worship in spirit and truth, your heart better follow. You better get a heart that wants to serve me in every area of life, and that includes your money. That includes your money. Now to tell the Lord that you love Him and spend 2 hours doing that, or 6 hours doing that, or however long you spend doing that is great. Really, it is. You give Him a little tip at the end of the service and spend all of your money on yourself that week. Don't be telling me you love Him. Don't be telling me you're concerned about souls in the kingdom either. That's why they didn't come, isn't it? Oh. Said, oh, it's him again. Ooh. Most prosperity messages have the prosperity of the believer in mind. This lesson tonight and next Wednesday night, I have no idea what the Lord will do. Well, I do know what He's going to do on the Golden Man thing, 8:30 Sunday morning. But I don't. The 10 o'clock service, you just never know where the Good Shepherd's going to go. But tonight and Wednesday night is primarily going to be teaching, and we're going to get down to the nuts and bolts on these things. I want you leaving here knowing precisely what to do if you would like to become a person whom the Lord can start entrusting larger and larger and larger sums of finances to for the kingdom. In order for that to happen, you're going to have your faith increased. That's why we're going to read this scripture here. Okay? Now, this tonight is not about you, your car, your wallet, your house, your clothes, your food, your kids, your nothing. This is about Jesus. This is about souls. This is about getting some money into the kingdom. Brad nearly burst into intercession that day that he had to announce the bake sale for the youth. Now, I thank God for everybody that helped do that. But Brad knows he's supposed to be paying for that stuff. That's what got him so bad. And now, he's not alone in here, John. And others. Michael. That one. Just like, you're off the hook this time. And others I could point out in here. Hugo. Well, let's quit talking about it and let's start doing it. Little by little, step by step. Let's start. And before tonight's over, you're going to know how to start. Now, you may leave here and you may say, I do not agree with anything he said. But I'll tell you one thing. You won't be wondering what I said. Unless you want an excuse, I'm telling you right now, now is the time to leave, because that excuse of I don't know what to do will be over in about another hour and 15 minutes. You will know what to do, and I mean precisely what to do. Verse 7, which of you having a servant? This meeting is for the Lord's servants. If you don't want to be one, leave now. You will not like this message. Which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve meat, the Lord says, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise you, everyone say, he's talking about me now. When you shall have done all those things which are commanded you. Now remember, he's been talking about stewardship for 2.5 chapters. He hasn't changed the subject. He's still talking about your stewardship in this life. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now again, I'm not going to review very much tonight. There's just no time. I'm going to give you a list of tapes that, if you don't have them, are the foundation that I've already taught here. And if you don't have them, you need them. I'll give it to you a little later on. Somebody remind me. Okay? There's about 4 or 5 of them. But now let me tell you, he is not talking about, when he says you're an unprofitable servant, he does not mean worthless. He means that you are a servant who is a bond slave by choice, serving Jesus because that's what he's told you he wants done, and you're not doing it for personal profit. Amen? The real word in that verse there for servant is slave anyhow. How many slaves you know that get rich? Hello? Personally. Why would he use that word, the imagery of that? No, he's talking about, are you going to serve me? If you want more faith, who for? What do you want it for? You building your own kingdom? You going to help me build mine? The Lord says. You've heard all that before. We're going to get into the how-tos. Nuts and bolts of the how-tos. Hallelujah. Quiet in here. Now, to start off, in fact, let me go ahead and read you those list of tapes. There's 4 of them that are the foundation for this, since I'm not going to have much time for review. And you can get them. Just request them after the service at the tape table. They'll have them for you probably by Sunday. Okay? The first one is Introduction to True Prosperity. I don't have the numbers, I'm sorry. Introduction to True Prosperity. The second one is God's Provision versus Stewardship. God's Provision versus Stewardship. The third one, How Promotion Comes in Finances. How Promotion Comes in Finances. And the fourth one, What is the Unprofitable Servant? What is the Unprofitable Servant? You need those. You need those, and get you some, and don't give them away right away. Listen to them till you can preach them just like I do. I listen to Dave's tapes till I can preach them just like he does. I gotta have it in me. It's gotta be bone of my bone. I don't want to hear about steak. I need to eat steak so it becomes me. Or the Word has to become you. These revelations have to be bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Alright. This all started, my understanding on these things, started in June of 1997. I was driving from the prayer center home. I can tell you right where it was. It was on Union, just as you go past that little water tower on the left. Right there, the Holy Ghost said. And to me, had you been in the front seat with me, you would have heard it. I don't know that you would have, but that's the way it seemed to me. It was just that real. All I did was grab my micro cassette recorder, which Tim taught me to carry all the time, thank God, and recorded it. Now here's word for word what he said, and I'm not going to go real slow because it'll be on the tape. Excuse me. Quote, sowing and reaping is sharecropper faith. It is a valid level of faith to operate in, and most people will never graduate from it. It has sustained my church to this hour, but will never cause the massive transfer of wealth that shall be required to fuel the combines of revival that will occur in these last days. What I desire is sonship faith, where you know that you actually own the very fields you are working in. You are not a sharecropper in the kingdom of God. You are a son. All that is mine is thine. Now, is that a statement or what? See, the Holy Ghost can tell you something like that. That was June. I knew what he said. I do understand English. You know, it was took me 6 months praying, meditating, because it was December of 1997 in Houston, where I first had that vision of my grandfather's farm. And I'm going to quickly review that. How many have never heard of my grandfather's farm? Let me see your hands. Okay, a few. We're going to do it real quick. I didn't know what he meant by this. I mean, I understood the words, but I didn't know how to apply it in any practical way. How's it going to change my finances, see? All right, took 6 months of praying. And finally, that little vision was birthed in my spirit. And then I understood it. But now, okay, let me get this straight. Yes, sir. All right. Let me give the little vision real quick. He suddenly showed me the dinner table at my grandfather's. My grandfather had 12 children. Actually, him and grandmother, they had to do it together, you know. But anyway. Now, they raised Black Angus cattle, and they also grew most of their own feed to feed the Black Angus cattle. There's lots of work to do on a combination ranch and farm like that. I mean, from the time you're little bitty, everybody has stuff to do. And in this vision, I saw the dinner table, and I saw all the children gathered around, the little ones and the older ones, and then some of them are almost adults. It's the family dinner table. That table is loaded with everything you could possibly think of. All that good stuff that we have down in Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, corn on the cob, fried okra, glory to God. Hallelujah, you know, cornbread and hot homemade biscuits, nothing out of a can now, homemade jelly. I mean, everything you can think of, and it had to be sweet potato pie there. Now, I'm telling you, it had to be sweet potato pie. But see, that's the family dinner table. And I saw this, and I'm going now. I don't remember him asking me, but I could see this, and I knew why he was showing it to me. It was like, why do they have the right to eat there? Their family. These are his sons and daughters. They eat at his table because they're sons and daughters. All right, then the vision changed, and I saw them. It was daytime, and I saw the men, all the males, from the oldest to the least. They're all going out to the fields, and one of them's getting on the tractor, and one of them's getting some gas to put in the tractor, and then they're all getting ready, and they go out, and they're working all day in the fields. And I saw the women, you know, they're doing all the things that need to be done on a farm like that. I mean, canning and pickling and clothes washing and, you know, everything in the world you can think of. There's lots of work to be done. And especially the sons, I saw them because of the sowing and the reaping analogy. You know, they were out working in the field. Some were plowing, some were sowing, some were reaping and all of that. But you know, at the end of the day, when it comes harvest time, where does all that grain go? Where does the harvest go? Into Grandpa's silo. You didn't see those sons out there marking off 7-acre plots for themselves, saying, I'm going to sow here and I'm going to reap here. Not at my grandfather's, you better not be like that. This is a family business. And the harvest belongs to the father. And at night, you get to go eat at the family dinner table and you can have all you want. Now, I go into great detail in there, but I've got to get your mind going back down that way. So the question arises, now how come all my grandfather's sons and daughters were so free that they could work all day in grandfather's fields, and I mean work hard from dawn to dark, knowing that at harvest time, it's all going to be his? How could they do that all day? Weren't they worried? How could they do it? Because every blessed one of them knew that dinner was at 5. They knew that they belonged at that family dinner table. When it come to their needs being met, they didn't give that a thought. They didn't have to give it a thought. their sons, their daughters. They're going to dine at the family dinner table. They're free to go serve all day in the father, grandfather's fields. Hallelujah. You got that? You got that? Now, that is the very thing Jesus is teaching here in Luke 17. He says, when are you ever going to get it straight? You want an increase of faith? Especially concerning finances? More faith comes with more desire to serve your Father. You want to serve Him in the financial arena? Whose harvest will it be, son? Let me ask you, disciple. You want more faith? When the harvest comes, who's it going to be? Yours or the Father's? If you make the right choice here, you can sure get an increase of faith. But it comes for service. Servant in the kingdom. Now that brings me up to why Andrea is still up here. You know which song, don't you? I'd rather have Jesus. And I always ask her to sing this one a cappella without music. And for those that's doing the tape tonight, I would like for this to be on the tape. It's just as much a part of this message as anything I'm going to say. Because when you hear these words, let your heart yield to them. Because if you don't have this heart, you're not ever going to become His servant. Especially in the realm of finances. Andrea.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything that the world affords today. And I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have my Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather know that I'd been true to His holy name than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have my Jesus than anything that the world affords today than to be dread sway. Oh, I would rather just have my Jesus than anything that the world affords today.
Oh, hallelujah. Just stand for a moment with me and just tell me, said Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to be your servant, Jesus. Lord, let me finish my life serving you, Jesus. I want to run my course, my race with joy. I want to finish my course, Lord. Just tell him, say, Jesus, my life belongs to you. Do with me as you will, Master. I want to be your servant, whether it's plowing in the field, whatever it is you want me to do, Jesus, and I want to bring it all and lay it at your feet and serve you till you've eaten and drunken, Master. Give me a heart that puts the needs of my Master first. Give me your heart, Jesus, that always puts the needs of the Father and the kingdom first. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I'd rather have you than anything this world has to offer, Jesus. You are my life. I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, I would rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. Lester Summerall said, if I die a millionaire, I'd die a traitor to the gospel. I want that written on my tombstone if the Lord tarries. God forbid I live my life for myself. God forbid. Let it never be so. You may be seated if you can. I have a problem with Andre. I know we're not supposed to talk about people. My problem is after she ministers like that, I can't hardly talk. I just want to blubber all over myself and go off in a corner and, you know, worship Jesus and die somewhere, you know. Just mortify. Now, part of what I'm doing tonight, also I'm going to give you a little report, because like I said Sunday, Pottawatomie County, you know, and I'm sure you've heard it too. There's an old saying that says the proof of the pudding's in the eating. All of the theory and all of the doctrine in the world isn't worth a hill of beans if it doesn't start transferring some money into the kingdom of God to help get this gospel preached to every nation, every tongue, every kindred, and every tribe. Isn't that right? Now, getting back to Grandfather's Farm for just a moment, can you see there is a difference between the family dinner table and what those sons were doing out in the field? One, they get to dine because it's their inheritance. It's because they're their family. They have a right there. That has got nothing to do, really, with their stewardship out in the field reaping a harvest. Isn't that right? Can you see there is no correlation there? The other example I gave was like a wealthy nation sending an ambassador to a poor nation to handle funds. Well, every nation sets their ambassadors up with provision. They'll have a house for them. And something for them to live on and educate their kids and a car to drive normally and provide the things they need. But then they want, what the man's job there though, is to steward wealth from the rich nation to the poor nation. Our rich nation is heaven. Our rich man is Jesus. He likes it when we use his goods to make friends with unrighteous mammon. Canceling men's debts, the sin question. Getting them born again. They will receive us into everlasting habitations, and that is the true treasure. How'd I do real quick on Dave's teaching there? Okay? Y'all got that? Now, let me give you a little bit of a report. As Sue and I have been learning these things, we have done our best. Every time he's taught us another principle, we've put it into practice. Every little nugget we've learned, and I'm going to have to skip over tons of things tonight just for time's sake, because I'm going to keep my word. You're going to know some things on how to start tomorrow on how to do this. But let me just tell you some things. See if this would interest you. Now, most of you know how Sue and I live or operate. Neither one of us has a secular job. God called us full-time to ministry. It's fine to have a secular job. It depends on what he tells you. You understand? Paul made tents for crying out loud. Yeah. All right? But that's what he told us. Well, I'm beginning to understand why. Part of the reason why was he kind of got us out on his limb, sawed the tree off behind us. We had to learn this stuff. It's part of my call. Anyway, so we have no secular income. Now, I get grilled when I say that because they'll say, okay, but what kind of retirement income do you have? None. You're on Social Security? No. You have some kind of medical disability? No. We're talking zip, nada, no income. Do you understand the word zero? None. Okay, and then on the ministry side, see, that's secular. On the ministry side, the way he has us operate, when we go minister somewhere, we ourselves are not allowed to take up an offering. I'm not allowed to mention it to the pastor or whoever's there. The Holy Ghost has to talk to him, or we're not going to get an offering. You understand what I'm saying? Plus, we don't sell any of our tapes. Everything we do is for free. Y'all know that. Plus, we don't. I'm not allowed to ever even let anybody, any of you know, or anybody on my mailing list know, of any need that we or the ministry even would ever have. Now, see, by God doing that, though, He kind of made our finances like a laboratory. In college, you remember when you have a chemistry lab? Well, things have got to be kind of sterile, don't they? Otherwise, you'd have impurities getting into the formulas and all, and it would mess up the results. Our finances are kind of that way. Because there is no levers, there's nothing I can do or Sue can do on our own to change our finances. All we can do is obey God. I mean, you know, on stuff like send the tapes free and that kind of thing. I'm not allowed to do anything to manipulate anything that would cause more finances to come in. Not even to the point of an appeal letter, which that's fine. You know, I'm just telling you how He told us to operate. Okay, now, that being the case, though, we've kind of got this little laboratory situation when it comes to our finances. As I learn a principle, I can apply that, and I watch what happens. It either releases more of the Spirit of God into our life and changes our financial situation, or it doesn't. But I can tell by decisions we make and certain things that we do, I can tell, did that release the Holy Spirit's power more? Did that release the Lord to be able to do more in our life? Well, let me give you some results. Just to give you a benchmark, because everybody thinks percentages, in 1998, our giving, for example, into Dave Roberson Ministries, we'll just talk about that. It's not the only place we gave. We're just talking about that. This is the number one place we give, as you would imagine. But in 1998, just to give you a benchmark, our giving here was 20% of our total income. Not of our, you know, personal income I'm talking about. If you take our personal income, what Sue and I lived on last year, the amount we were able to give and divided that amount by our personal income, it would have come to 20%. Okay? No brag, just fact. I'm not trying to impress you or depress you. I'm just giving you a benchmark. Now, we were given all that we thought we could give and still live and operate the other things that we have to do, the ministry, you know, buying, you know, tapes and mailing and all that stuff. Printer paper, for crying out loud, you know. Since we've learned these things, which really, this only really started right about January 1st, where we understood these principles well enough to make these changes that I'm going to tell you before we leave here tonight. So far this year, well, actually, in the first 90 days of this year, we were able to give more, substantially more, than we gave in all of 1998. And we didn't take any less for ourselves. It didn't diminish us any at all. In fact, I got curious and I looked it up. I keep everything on Quicken, you know, that software. I was curious. We've actually paid ourselves, if you want to call it that, you know, what we drew out, $327 more to this date. So it's not like we were diminished in any way. But in 90 days, we were able to put more into this ministry than we did all of last year, and that was 20% of our income. Are y'all interested? This is that servant stuff. He says if you learn how to do this, your faith will increase. Buddy, my faith is increasing. All right, let me give you another one just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on. I calculated this out just out of curiosity. All right, 1998, our total giving for that year was 20%. through today's date this year, which is April 21st, 1999. See, we've talked before about the R.G. Letourneau. He was a guy that, I talked about it in Houston. He's a guy that was really kind of the forerunner of the Caterpillar type business that made these big earth-moving machines and everything. Well, he started out like everybody else, live on 90% and give 10. But as he served God and let God teach him how to prosper, those percentages kept changing, and by the end of his life, he's a multi-millionaire. He's living on 10%, putting 90% into the gospel. But his 10% was vastly more than his 90% when he started. Well, let me tell you this. In 90 days, our percentage has gone from 20% to 85%. And we still drew out $300 and some odd more to this same date last year. Are you interested? Do I have your attention? You know, if we could get a handle on this, not only would the youth not have to have bake sales, Dave might get on TV. And you pay for it. You little first-class servant, you. How would you, wouldn't you love to be the one that wrote the check? Wouldn't you be the one that wrote the check for that digital computer equipment they need to edit these things? How'd you like to be the first one? I think those cameras are like $60,000 or something. You know, those TV, those big old good ones. I don't know. How'd you like to be the one that bought the first one? Wheel it in, you. Here you go. They say, where's the bill? I already paid it. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. All right. Now that I got your attention. Now, when I taught those lessons before, the common question that everybody asked me afterwards, you know, tug on my shirt, my shirt sleeve. Gary, what? How do I know? See, because we're trying to get them to make a distinction in their provision from their stewardship. See? Then later I taught a little bit on the Lord's pound. Oh, God, do we have to go over that again? I know He's taught me so much more about that since we talked before, but not tonight. So you could say, how much is mine? How do I know what my provision is? And how much is the Lord's pound, or the part I steward for the Lord? And you know what I told them? I don't know. I just saw the principle. See, Sue and I made this decision a long time ago. We're just not embarrassed at all if you ask us a question that we don't know. We're not embarrassed to just tell you, I don't know. We figure that's better than making up stuff. You know, don't you think? If you keep praying, He'll show you. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know how to do it in my own life. But I could see the principle. I knew it was something that needed doing. Now, in our case, I'll tell you how the Lord got us to this. Again, I keep all of our records on Quicken. Now, you got to understand, from the time we started this ministry, there was no income in the very beginning. I mean, I never will forget the day we've got our first check ever. $10. I still remember it. Landslide day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This, God spoke to somebody. We got a $10 check, you know. But as, you know, I mean, it came in very erratic. I mean, you know, some days there was nothing. I mean, Brad's been with me on how many trips to that post office box, and there's nothing in it. Haven't you, Brad? Many. Other days, you know, there's more. But in the beginning, all we could do was, as money would come, you know, we was trusting God. Sure enough had come, or we could draw a little bit out, go down and pay PSO before they shut the electric off. You understand what I'm talking about? So it was very erratic. And of course, as the ministry's grown over 4 years, it's gotten better. You know, thank God we haven't been in that situation in a long time. Oh, thank you, Master. Pardon me, I gotta praise Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I worship you, Master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I remember those days. Oh, hallelujah. But anyway, as that progressed, well, we would just draw out what we needed to pay the bills and to buy things that we needed for the ministry, like whatever it would be, tapes or printing paper or whatever. But that's just the way we would operate, you know, and give as much as we could. So we never did come to the place where we could just like, okay, we're just going to, on the first of the month, we're just going to pay us a salary for the month. Why didn't you? There wasn't no money to do that. You know, as the month went along, we'd draw out $20 one day, $50 another day, $100 another day, no bucks the next day. You know? Well, knowing how we did that, that's the way we live. After I got to trying to figure, I got to praying and asking the Lord about how do I come up with provision? How do I know? I don't know. I felt impressed in my spirit, let me put it that way, to go back over my Quicken records for the last 2 years. I was stunned. I come in there, I said, Sue, take a look at this. 2 years in a row, that's 1997 and 1998, knowing how erratically we drew the money out, the amounts came to within $1,000 of being identically the same for both years. I said, now look at this. We've been living within $1,000. We've been living on this amount for 2 years running. Light bulb. Perhaps this is our steward. This is our provision. Perhaps this is what we should set right now as our provision. What I'll do, I'll just multiply, I'll add these two numbers together, divide by 2, divide by 12. That'll be our monthly provision. And we'll just fix that for the time being. Not percentage, I mean a set dollar amount. Write this down. This is step number 1. For you too. Forget percentages. For now. You pray and ask the Lord, He will help you find out what your provision is and fix it at a set dollar amount for a while. When we're talking 6 months, you'll see later what I mean here. 6 months, maybe a year, I don't know. Maybe not that long. Anyway, that was our decision. All right? So I took those two numbers for those 2 years, added them together, divided by 2, divided by 12, rounded it to the nearest 100. That's how much we're going to live on a month. We joined hands, said, Jesus, we agree. We understand. We think you're telling us, Lord, we've been living on this amount anyway. This is our provision for now. And anything that comes in above that, that's your pound. Now that's the decision we made right about the first of the year. And it was almost like Jesus said this. Now, I didn't actually hear this, but based on what's happened, it's like when Jesus saw us make that prayer or agree in that prayer, it's like He said this. Now wait a minute, Gary. Gary and Sue, now wait a minute. Are you telling me that you now understand that the harvest from your sowing is not yours, but it's mine? You're telling me I can now send you additional finances and you will not automatically consider it to be your own? You will not consume it upon yourselves, nor sow it according to your plan, but will rather use it according to the plan that I show you? Well, I'll just send you some additional finances and watch to see if you're faithful to do what you've spoken. Now, nobody but us and the Lord knew we made this decision. I didn't broadcast it. I sent no letter. You know, didn't do anything to try and manipulate anybody. But I'm telling you, stuff started happening. People that had been getting tapes for us for 2 years. One guy in particular teased me. He's a wealthy man. Every now and then I'd see him. He says, I've been sending this guy tapes for a year or two. He says, I guess you notice I ain't supporting you. And I'd say, I guess you notice I'm still sending you tapes. Yeah. I'm doing what the Lord told me. How about yourself? We get along good, you know. I mean, you know, we're just sparring back and forth a little bit, you know. All of a sudden, this man, now, quote, coincidence, he doesn't know anything about this decision we've made. Now, all of a sudden, I get a check in the mail for him for $500. Since I didn't mention his name, I guess it's okay. I got a check in the mail from him for $500. Glory to God. Now see, if you're not mortified, right there part of you goes, well, he never sent that when it was mine. See, that's another thing. This mortification message is just as much a part of this as anything else. Because when the money starts coming, you got to be dead enough to give it. You got to be dead enough to give it. Otherwise, the money's going to take you out. So I thought, well, glory to God, you know. And he had a little note in there that said he's going to start supporting us on a regular basis. So I'm thinking, well, praise God, $500 a month, you know. Additional. That's what I thought. 2 weeks later, I got another check from him. Same amount. What's going on here? People that I've been sending tapes to, we, been sending tapes to for God knows how long. Well, the Lord said. And they weren't, all of a sudden, checks start coming in. Now, they weren't all for that much, but I mean $40 and $80 and $25 and $100. I don't know how many we got. It was odd how many checks we got for $100. That's not normal. Hasn't been anyway. I say it is now. What? And then all of a sudden, this has never happened in the 4 years we've been in ministry. And I don't want to, again, I'm trying to keep everything confidential, you know. Somebody from overseas, across the big pond, as they say, by a Visa donation, which, by the way, I'm not set up to receive. But they did it through the prayer center. $1,000. And I'm going, Jesus is going, wait a minute now, wait a minute. You and Sue said that if you're going to live on this much, and anything that comes in above that, that's mine. That's my pound. Let me show you what I can do with my pound. Y'all starting to get a clue here? And we haven't done anything to change anything. Now, I'm going to mention this. I'm just going to introduce it tonight because I want to talk about this in another lesson in great detail. Because what we're talking about right now is the... Okay, let me do this. Help me, Jesus. Step one. One. If you don't have something to write on your neighbor's shirt. Take it home with you. Do something. Get this tape or something. You are going to have to get with the Lord yourself. This is not a formula. Get with the Lord your God. Close the door on your prayer closet, you old flaky thing. And you get in there and pray till he shows you what your provision is and his pound. Now, we don't even have any income and he managed to get it, normal, and he managed to get it across to us. You know, now he did for you, the Lord's merciful. He gave me this to help you. Because it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that you start somewhere. Okay? Now, the way this works is, whatever you come up with, forget percentages for now. Whatever your income is, you and the Lord get together, look it over, go over your bills, go over your budget. We don't have a budget. That's problem number one. You need to make a budget. You need to figure out where your money's going. You know? Figure out what you need. But you and the Lord get together, and then something has got to be the Lord's, or you're never going to become His steward. Something has to be the pound. I started to say he had mercy on. He gave me this as a suggestion because most Christians operate this way. Most Christians operate this way. Most of you are tithers. Most Christians are tithers. Would you please forever get that out of your head? That is Old Testament stuff. Now listen, you're not going to be in any danger. I know right now you're thinking, I'll be cursed if I don't tithe. I'll be cursed if I don't tithe. They pounded it in me and pounded it in me. I don't want to be cursed. All right, no, still give your 10%. Okay, you're safe. But in your thinking, don't be thinking any longer. It's the tithe. Consider that to be the Lord's pound. That's all. Just change your thinking. You're still giving it. You're safe, okay? The Babylonians aren't coming to destroy you in your home now. You know, you're not under a curse. Okay? You're still giving it. Alright? But in your thinking, say, alright, no, I'm going to become the Lord's first class servant. This is what I'm going to start with. This is my stewardship. I've been doing this anyway. Well, Brother Gary, actually, I haven't. Start somewhere. I don't care if it's $5. Commit something. And that $5, bless God, the Lord's. We got tested the first week. An emergency, quote, came up. And here we'd already drawn out our stewardship. And we needed something. That's the Lord's pound. I can't touch that. We were tested. You think the enemy's not going to test you? Find out what you're made of. Is that the Lord's or is it not the Lord's? Can you keep your word? Do you don't keep your word? Can you be trusted or can you not be trusted? Are you a steward or not? Are you not a steward? You know? So, we're not touching it. Somehow, I don't care. I'm not going to tell you what it was. Somehow, Jesus, you got to handle this. And He did. He did. But once you make that decision, whatever it is, and I'm not going to, I suggest, because he suggested it to me, if you're a tither, well, just start there. Your provision's 90, if you've been making 1,000 a month, your provision's 900. 100 of it is your pound, the Lord's pound. Start there. But get it in your mind, I expect that to increase. Can you see what's happening here different? See, because everything you've been taught and everything that's being taught practically in the body of Christ is when you give, you increase. That is so far from the mind of Christ, I hardly know what to say. You think any of my grandfather's sons thought like that when they went out to sow in the fields that day? They were going to come home with a personal harvest that night? For crying out loud, your labor in the whatever you're doing for the gospel, that's for the Father's harvest. And if you're going to become His steward when increase comes, it's to steward more money for Him. Get souls saved. We'll talk about how you get an increase later. You can. Hallelujah. This is a radical... Now you think, well, I'm telling you, this is a radical change of thought. And Jesus likes it. Because, I mean, He started releasing more money. The Holy Spirit somehow was free to speak to the hearts of more people because we didn't change anything we were doing in the natural whatsoever. And all of a sudden, okay, I mentioned the dream. I didn't know exactly what to do with the increase. See, what so far we're just talking about those things that's required to start breaking the money loose. So you got something to steward in the first place. Now, I guess I should go at it like this. And again, I'm just going to calm down. There's no way we're going to get through all this tonight. But we are going to get enough. We're going to get enough. I didn't bring my wallet up here. This will be my wallet. See my wallet? Now, once the money starts coming, I'm telling you right now, if you will do this in your mind, just do it. Fix your amount at a set dollar amount, no longer a percentage. If you want to do it like this, won't I ever get an increase? We'll talk about that later. Let's think in these terms to help you right now. 6 months. Make a commitment kind of like that to the Lord. For the next 6 months, I've been living on this anyway. This is what I'm going to live on. I've been living on it anyhow. And for the next 6 months, Jesus, any increase that comes above that is your pound. And do it with a set dollar amount on your provision. Not a percentage. That's what's been killing us. Do it with a set dollar amount. I'll talk to you, we'll talk later about how you get an increase. Okay? That is the decision that really eliminates greed out of this whole thing. You start thinking like a first class servant. Say, boy, I sure would like for my stewardship, I'd like for that pound to increase. I want to give more. I want to give more. Boy, when increase comes, you start getting excited and you start writing bigger checks. Hallelujah. And you start writing bigger checks. Man, that you start getting, you're starting to get the heart of a servant now. Instead of having your prosperity always on your mind every time you sow, now you're thinking, I'm a steward of kingdom finances for the Lord my God. I'm in the business of financing the gospel to get souls saved for their Father. It's what I do. And He can trust me. When increase comes, I don't touch His pound. Now, when that starts coming, then you got to know some other stuff. Like, what to do with it. See, well, I know what to do with it. The Lord needs a new Lexus. You already got disqualified. You know, many are called, few are chosen. You know, that'll take care of you real quick. No, but I'm talking even, you know, not really that bad. But like, what do you do with it? Well, we didn't know either. Now, again, there are no formulas. This is by relationship, not by formula. The Holy Spirit gave a dream to a person in this church, and I purposely am not looking their way, because I don't want all of you going, what did the Lord dream? What dream did you have about me? This person had a dream about Sue and I on New Year's Eve. You find that coincidental? Been learning these principles. And on New Year's Eve, she has a dream about us. All right? Now, in the dream, see, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. See, the Lord has His way of getting information to you. Really, this dream is one way that the word of wisdom comes. I didn't know what to do before I heard this dream. After I heard the dream, I knew precisely what to do. All right? Now, in this dream, I was standing at one of these, you know, fold-up type tables that we have all around the church here. But it was in an upstairs room at the prayer center. Notice it's not at my home. That's a clue. It's at the prayer center. Okay? I'm standing on one side of the table, and the person having the dream standing on the other side looking at me. Behind me is Pastor Dave in this dream. In front of me is a stack of checks 6 inches tall. How many of y'all know that's a lot of checks? Now, what's interesting, just to my right, there was another man standing, but he wasn't real clear in the dream. Couldn't make out who he was. But the person who had the dream says, I knew this was either the Holy Spirit or Jesus. Well, I didn't know exactly, but it's the Lord. In front of him, actually between him and me, was another stack of checks, 16 inches tall. Okay, that's interesting. We're at the prayer center. Pastor Dave's in the dream. Holy Spirit's over here. Okay, I got these checks. He's got those checks. Then in the dream, a breeze began to blow, a gentle breeze, on my checks. And the person having the dream, as those checks would, you know, as the breeze would kind of flutter them up in the air, they'd come up where she could see them. And they were made out for certain amounts. And this is the part where Dave says it's hard, because I don't really want to tell you the amounts. They were substantial. Okay? For us, they were substantial. All right? And the first one came up for a certain amount. The next one that she saw was that same amount. The next one she saw was that same amount. The next one she saw was 5 times that amount. Then the first amount again. It was like this certain amount, and then every so often, 5 times that amount in there. And that's the end of the dream. Oh, now, it's important to notice that the other stack of checks, the one over by the Holy Ghost, they ain't moving. Now, she can tell they're made out to me, Gary Carpenter. Oh, by the way, these checks that she saw in the amounts of mine that were moving, they were made out to Dave Roberson Ministries. Duh. You know. Now, so I mean, this thing fits perfectly. All of the principles that I know so far about stewardship. Now, for example, he that's faithful in little is faithful also in much. If you have not been faithful in the handling of the unrighteous mammon, who will give you the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, and so forth and so on. Faithfulness first, right? Now, look at this dream. I've got some checks in front of me. Whose checks has to move first? Mine. And the Holy Spirit is over here watching. Let's see if Sue and Gary is going to keep this commitment or not. They said anything above their provision is the Lord's. We're watching you. Because those checks from Him, they're not going to come to me until I prove myself faithful with what I already got. And by the way, these were for nice amounts. These were for larger amounts. But He's going to watch you first. He says, I have to find you faithful. It is required of servants that they be found faithful. Now, you see what I mean? I didn't know what to do exactly before that dream. After the dream, I knew where to give it. I knew in what quantities to give it. Okay? So, Sue and I, even though the person had the dream New Year's Eve, we heard about it on January 5th. We talked it all over, Sue and I did. We analyzed this thing, took it apart, put it back together. It fit all the principles that I understood about stewardship. Everything fit. No check in our spirit, either one of us. I said, we're going to do this. And we had enough in our account. And by the way, the following day was a Wednesday, so we had a service that following night. I said, we came in agreement. Let's sow that first dollar amount tomorrow night. Okay? So we did. That was January 6th. All right, come around February 1st. Now, on that day, we look at the account. Now, the only bill, just so you'll know, the only bill that we have personally that's due, actually due on the first of the month is our rent. Everything else comes in during the month. Electric, gas, water, you know. The one that's due on the first is our rent. So we look in our account. There's enough to pay the rent and to write another check for that first amount. Now, there's not much left in the account after that. You know? I mean, it's still a faith deal, you understand? I mean, we're not sitting there with our whole month's salary on the first. No, we got enough to pay the rent, but there's enough also to give the Lord His pound. So we did it. That's February 1st. March 1st comes around, almost identically the same thing. There was enough. And all during the month, now as money comes in, we're paying ourselves in order to pay the bills. We're paying ministry things. We're buying tapes and printing paper and all the stuff that it takes to do ministry. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And but when we draw out that, once we reach that point where that's our stewardship, what we promised to the Lord, that's it. Nothing else for us that month. Anything else above that, now that's His. You with me? So March 1st comes around. Happens again. In fact, there was enough to write the first amount, okay, the first dollar amount that was in the drain, and our rent, and quite a bit more, but there wasn't enough to write the five times amount. Well, that's the only two numbers that was in the drain, either this one amount or five times that amount, so I let it sit there. April 1st comes around. We couldn't hardly believe our eyes. 1st of April comes around, we've got enough to pay the rent, and we got enough to pay, I say pay, you know what I'm saying, write a check for, however you want to word it, give. We've got enough to write, pay our rent, and to put in the five times amount. This is really hard without telling the amounts. It's enough that it makes you stop. I'll tell you what, you'll find out right there if you're mortified. Now, be honest with you. One of the things that so thrilled us, that we try and be transparent with y'all, you know. We looked in our, I mean, you can look around. I mean, I drive a, okay. You can always use more things. Sue can look around the house and could use more things, couldn't you? But when we looked in our heart, both of us were more excited about writing that five times amount than anything we could have bought with it. We couldn't hardly wait to get down here. Couldn't hardly wait. And as the Lord would have it, I already had it written out at home. We had it, and I had it right in my pocket. And as we come through the doors, the person who had the dream was standing right there. And I said, come here. And I just kind of went, I said, it didn't take long. And she went, glory to God. You know? Well, she has a right to know. God used her in the thing. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, so you can be expected. See, because really, some of the questions I get all the time is these that pertains to this. Well, Brother Gary, all right, let's say that I'm the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. I am His steward. So I'm going to do this, and money's going to start coming my way. Now, what do I do with it, Brother Gary? Do I give it to Pastor? Do I put it into Dave Roberson Ministries? Do I put it into other ministries where I'm fed? Do I give it all to Barbara in the outreach? Say amen, Barbara. Amen. Do I give it to the poor? You know, we could go on and on, couldn't we? All of those questions are irrelevant. You're still trying to operate out of your soul. You're wanting formulas to operate by instead of a living relationship with the Lord your God. Now listen. Again, I started to do this a while ago. Pretend this hanky is my wallet. Now, the steward of finances for the Lord Jesus. Really, you could represent Him in the body as the hand. Now think of it like this. If Dave says all the time, if we don't go preach, Jesus doesn't get to preach, does He? If we don't go pray for the sick, Jesus doesn't get to go pray for the sick, does He? Listen, if we don't become His hand to give, Jesus never gets to give. You with that? Now, let's think about you and your hand. What if, just look at me, no, I pretend this is my wallet. One day I'm just minding my own business, I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and suddenly my hand reaches in my pocket, pulls out my wallet, and I'm going, I didn't tell my hand to do that. What's going on? What's my hand about to do? And my hand just reaches in my wallet and starts giving money to Andrea and Daisy and right on down the line just starts. And I'm going, hand, what are you doing? And my hand just, it's not listening to me at all. It's doing just what it wants and it's giving money away. And then it goes, no, we need more stuff. And it goes over to the candy store and it starts buying all this candy. And I'm going, hand, I didn't tell you to do. What are you using my money on this stuff for? And then it starts going over and starts giving to organizations that I would never approve of. And I'm going, what is wrong with my hand? And finally I get its attention. I slap my hand. I'm going, what are you doing? I didn't tell you to do any of that. And it's going, oh, I listened to Christian television. And I found out I no longer have to take my instructions from the head, because I am still under the law and there are formulas. And all I have to do is operate by those formulas, and it doesn't really matter what you say about it. I'm the hand now with a formula, and I don't need the head anymore. Now, if that was the case with you, and every time that you put money in that wallet, your hand, even though you never told it to do it, it just took your wallet and started doing whatever it wanted to by some kind of formula that wasn't your instructions. Wouldn't you be pretty sure? Wouldn't you make sure there wasn't a whole lot of money in that wallet? All of those questions there, the hand is wanting some formula. No, you get in there and pray yourself. He'll either give it to you. How does David's taught us how these things come? How does revelation come? It comes by the word of knowledge. It can come just by revelation. It can come by a dream. It can come by a vision. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or He can just flat tell you. You've heard His voice before. One night we was sitting right over in that section, and it came offering time. And I was asking the Lord about, you know, how Dave says, you know, ask the Lord what He'd have you give. And now this particular night, I mean strong, the Lord said to me. He says, you take $10 right now and give it to that lady. Certain lady sitting just a little ways from us. I didn't point at her, by the way. You take $10 and give it to her, and I mean now. Well, I mean, it was one of those, whoa. I got up, you know, sure enough, I had 10 bucks. I guess the Lord knew that. I didn't know till I checked my wallet, but He knew it. I had 10 bucks, you know, went over there, just, you know, one of those Pentecostal handshake things. Here. Found out later, that lady was wanting to give so bad. Without that $10, she says, in just a moment, my wedding ring was going in that bucket. Now that's the head giving instructions to the hand. You do, see, what do I do with it? Whatever He says to you, do it. Okay? Now this is not going to be popular, I already know that, with many preachers in the land. Because they want to tell you what to do with the money. Those days are fast coming to an end, people. My Bible says in the book of Hebrews, they will all know me, from the least to the greatest, and no man shall have to go to his neighbor and says, teach me about the Lord my God. They'll all know me, from the least to the greatest. I will walk in them. I will be a God to them, and they will be my people. You're going to know Him yourself. You're going to do exactly what He says to do with it, or you won't be His steward very long. Think about any corporation that has an accounting office, and they have the head accountant. His job is to write payroll checks. His job is to pay the bills. for the corporation as they come in. Now, what do they call that guy? Comptroller? Bean counter? You know, comptroller, head of finance for the, something. Now, if that guy, he may do fine. He may be their faithful steward and do exactly according to company policy for years. But what if all of a sudden one day, he, at his level, takes it upon himself, says, well, I just don't think we're paying the gas company enough every month. I mean, those guys down there work hard. I think I'm just going to start sending them an extra $100 a month. How long do you think that guy is going to be steward? Not long, honey. Not long. You better find out who the boss is. You want to be his steward, you do what he tells you. This is part of what the Holy Ghost meant when he said this message has come to maturity. You know, he told Pastor Dave, the message has come to maturity. This is part of it. It's time to grow up. Quit listening to every wag-a-bag preacher on TV and you hear the Lord yourself. Stop it. I mean, you know, especially when they start that, if you don't give, we're going to have to go off TV. Let them go. Their God's not big enough to keep them on TV? I'm sure not. They'll just flush my money down a toilet with theirs. That's all. Crying out loud. He's Jehovah Jireh. El Shaddai. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why they didn't come, isn't it, Michael? They knew I was going to talk like that. Hallelujah. Now, we got just a few minutes here. I want to make sure that you've got the essentials. I'm going to go over it again. That's what teachers do. Wisdom is like a nail. It's that which is pounded in. Okay. Now, how do you start? Every one of you somehow is living. You know how I know that? I can see you. So I know somehow, some way. Now, it may be a miracle daily. I don't know how it's happening. But somehow, some way. You eating? Y'all got here some way? I see all of you have clothes on. Somehow you're making it. Now, to you, it may be a walking on the water thing every day, and that's okay. But what I'm saying is, don't be telling me you ain't got no provision. It may not be the provision you want, but you got some. You got income of some kind. Amen? Now, step one. Get this. This is number one. You and the Lord your God needs to have a meeting. Maybe for hours and days, but you got to have a meeting. And you and him together come to a decision on what percentage of your income for now is your provision. Something has got to be the Lord's, or you're never going to get started. Now, once you figure it out, don't keep it as a percentage anymore. Set it as a dollar amount. Again, for many of you who are tithers, you could do it this way. Whatever you're making a month, let's say $1,000 a month, your provision would be what? $900. And your pound or your stewardship would be $100. Now the point is, fix your deal at $900 then. When you figure your percentage, whatever dollar amount you come to a month, fix that. Because what you're after is becoming a steward whom the Lord can trust to handle more money for Him. See, this is a little different prosperity message, is it not? And He's going to react with you the same way He reacted with us. Wait a minute! John, I've been trying to get you to make this decision for years, the Lord says. I'm just making that up. John and Will, they get together, they go over the books. I know he keeps meticulous books. He's a lot like me. And they're going to go over this, and they're going to go, okay, yeah, we've been doing this. We've been giving this amount anyway. We've been living on this amount. We had never thought of this. All right, we'll fix this. This is our set amount. You agree with that, honey? Yeah, I agree with that. We've been living on it anyhow. See, it doesn't diminish what you've been doing. That's what I'm saying. It's not going to change what you've been, unless you haven't been giving at all. No show of hands. No show of hands, please. But if you've been giving anything at all, you've been living on something, haven't you? Well, just fix it. What I mean is set it at that amount, not a percentage anymore. That's my amount. Lord, anything above that, it's yours. And the Lord's going to go, what? I heard a prayer. Wait a minute. Shut up, angels. What? You're going to... Now, John and Will, wait a minute. You're going to live on this, and if I was to send... If I was to release finances to your house above that, you're telling me that's to be used for the gospel? And not only that, you'll use it... You're going to spend time in the prayer closet, and you're going to use it like... I tell you, you're going to let me be the head? And you guys be the hands? Well, let me just show you what I can do with my portion here, son. I've been looking for some stewards for about, 2,000 years. You watch and see if stuff doesn't start happening. Good and bad. Because the Lord's going to start releasing the money, and the devil's going to try you. He's going to see if you're going to touch it. Better not. We're not talking going to hell deal, but you'll get fired. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. You better find out right now your God's bigger than anything the devil can throw at you. Blown tires, dishwashers going out, transmissions falling out in the road. I don't care. How big is your God? He doesn't have transmissions. He's a God of everything but transmissions. My God can supply all my needs except transmissions. I don't know what it is. You know? Give me a break. Stand there and believe God. Speak the word out of your mouth and let the angels hearken to the voice of His word, and you'll start getting some adventure in your life. Yes. Somebody will drive up and says, "Take my car, please. God's been after me. I got to give you my car. You know, please take this car." My friend, my oldest friend on earth, who is not spirit-filled. He loves the Lord, but he calls that, you know what we do? He calls that, he says, "I just can't go for that gibberish." Now, he loves the Lord. He'd do anything, you know. I see more of the fruit of the Spirit in that guy than I do a lot of us. I'm sorry. You know? But he says, now, this is always after the fact. Therefore, again, okay, I'm going to let you out right close to 9. This is a teaching meeting. And anyway, after a period of time, our first monitor on our computer, it was still working okay, but every now and then you're right in the middle of something and they just go black. And I'd go, "What in the world, you know?" And smacked it on the side, it came back on. Well, that worked for a while. It'd go black, but it's no problem. You smack it on the side, it'd come back on. I could keep working. Then you have to smack it twice. One time I got up and wrestled with it. It was starting to get bad. I'm going, you know, I use this thing. I mean, you know, we use this thing. And I'm going, "Oh, Lord." So same old deal. I'm not allowed to let you guys know. I mean, not even through the back door. I'm not allowed to let you know. Would you just agree with me in prayer that my God would supply a new monitor? "Oh, why don't you just shut up?" That's not even praying. That's begging. You're letting other people know your need so they can supply your monitor. That is not the kind of prayer of agreement. Your God is your provider. Is He not called our husband? I'm sure glad Sue doesn't come and agree with you that I'll provide for her. Can't you just see Sue coming in here? Would you come into agreement with me, Janet? I want you to come into agreement with me, Janet, that my husband would get me a better dishwasher. Oh, for crying out loud. Oh, we got problems at home if that's going on. You understand what I'm saying? Well, when you're going around, would you agree with me about my needs? Honey, you don't know your husband. You have no respect for your husband, and you do not think he is a provider either. I'm single. I'm talking about your husband, Jesus. Keep your yap shut and tell Him what you need. He's real. What did He say? "I am jealous over you." I'm a husband. Every husband in this room, how would you feel if your wife started getting together with other people to get an agreement that you would be their provider? That's not what the prayer of agreement is all about, you guys. didn't even intend to go there. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. What? Who said what? I missed it. Nice trip? Okay, good. Hallelujah. Anyway, getting back to, I want to make sure you know what to do. Now, set your provision at a certain amount. And then already know, just know ahead of time the devil's going to test you. I mean, either that or Jesus lied about it. He said Satan comes immediately to steal the word. I promise you, when you come to this decision, something's going to happen to see if you're going to stick with it or not. Stick with it, that's all. And don't be calling everybody to get in agreement with you. You'd be in agreement with Jesus about it. You know? Stand there and believe God. That's when the miracles start. Boy, we could give you 4 years of testimonies. We get everything that way. Oh, I was telling you about Bob and the telling you about my friend and the monitor. That's what it was. So anyway, I'm sorry. It came back to me. About how God does this stuff. I needed a monitor. This is what I'm saying. The miracles start though. I didn't even come to Tim. Oh, Tim, would you agree with me that the Lord my God would provide me with a new monitor? My monitor faileth. You know? What? I already said enough on that. Anyway, no! We go and we ask, say, Jesus, Father, we need a monitor. You see this thing? I'm smacking it 4 or 5 times, it's still black, Jesus. It ain't working. Jesus, I'm wrestling the thing. Okay, it's working now, but we're going to need a new one. I'm asking you for a monitor. Now, nobody but us and the Lord knew that we prayed that prayer. My friend, who doesn't even pray in the Spirit, he says, and the way this happened was cute. You get time for this. He says, he calls me up one Saturday morning. And this happens a lot of times. You know, it wasn't anything unusual. He says, I need you to run out to Best Buy with me. I want to get some stuff. Well, we do that occasionally. We go out to Best Buy and, we're just friends. And, you know, he's usually buying stuff for him. And I'm just there with him and helping him pick out stuff and that and whatever. Well, we get out to Best Buy this day and, I'm going to need somebody. Sue, I better use you on this one. So we're coming into Best Buy and, he says, I need you to follow me over here. And we're starting to make a beeline for the monitors. And I'm starting to like slow down and kind of, and he gets me by the neck right here and he goes, come on. He's going, no, you ain't going nowhere. You come with me. Okay, thank you. Listen down. I mean, he's just going, no, you ain't going nowhere. And we go right up to the monitors and he says, you gotta let me buy you a monitor. So why are you going to buy me a monitor for? God's on my case. I can't. He says, it started, and what was interesting, he just got laid off. He needed a job. Been looking, putting out resumes and everything. God knows who to get. God's trying to meet his need at the same time as me. Can you see what's going on here? You know? But anyway, my friend, he's going, God, you do understand I just got laid off? I mean, I don't know where we're going to get any money from. You know? Buy Gary a monitor, you know. But, and this went on for 2 or 3 days, you know, and he keeps going, I can't afford this. Now, the way he describes it, for benefit of the tape, I'll have to visually describe it. Let me get up here where you can see. He says, well, that went on like that for a few days, and I hadn't agreed to do it yet. So then God did this. And for the benefit of the tape, it's like a big thumb coming out of heaven, right down on Bob's head going, I did it again. Right down on his head going, oh, he'll get a kick out of it. Coming right down on his head, going, buy Gary a monitor. And I said, now what do you mean by that? Now I can't sleep at night. I'm trying to go to sleep, and it's, buy Gary a monitor. Buy Gary a monitor. And I'm going, oh God, you know. He said, after about 3 days, I can't sleep anymore. And he goes, all right, I'll buy him a monitor. And he says, we'll get him a good one. You okay? He says, I got my first night's good sleep in days, you know. And that's the next day we go into Best Buy. He says, you gotta let me buy you a monitor. God told me, you gotta let me buy you a monitor. And I'm going, he says, and he told me to buy you a good one. So, he's gonna get me like a 17 inch. I've had one of them little ones that comes, you know. And he said, I wanna get you a 17 inch. We got to looking. That day only, they had the 17 inch one sitting right next to the 19 inch one. And they're identically the same price. And he says, I'd get to 19. So we did. And it didn't happen overnight, but the job that he has now, he wouldn't go back to the one he got laid off of for nothing. It's more money, better benefits, less hours, and more future. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It gets exciting when you really let God start being your source and not people. Now, I just mentioned this one part. Just till next Wednesday or Sunday if he lets me. I don't know what'll happen Sunday. Well, how do I ever get an increase? Well, let me ask you this. If you're, in one sense, you are a son, but it's like you've gone to work in the family business. You're a comptroller now. You're a steward for the Lord. Okay? And you have a salary. What do you do in any business when you need a raise? You go talk to the boss? You come in, you have a little set-to with him? Let's talk. My family's getting bigger, you know. They eat more every week. We need an increase. That's fine. Every so often, get with the Holy Ghost. You get in your prayer closet, ask the Lord, spend enough time in there till you start hearing His voice, and you and He will settle on something. You may go from $900 a month to where now your portion is, He may give you a $200 raise, just pick a number. Now you go from $900 to $1,100. Thing of it is, but I was only making $1,000. Yeah, but now He's changed your flow of money to where there's $2,000 a month coming in now. So now you're living on $1,100 where you was living on $9, and you're stewarding $900 a month for Him where you started out stewarding $100. He really intended this to be simple. How do you get a raise in the natural? Don't you go talk to the boss? It's not much different in this kingdom.